Parsha relates that, as we know, Lot and Avram both had tremendous amounts of sown, flock, to find places to herd them, to graze them. There was no room. Says the Pasuk Zion, Vahi Riv, Bein Roe and Bikta Avram, between the shepherds of Avram and the shepherds of Lot, and the Canaanite priests who were in the land at that time. Says Rashi, very famous Rashi, Rashi says, Vahi Riv, Vifi Shahayu Roam Shalot, Rishoyim, they're mamish Rishoyim. This is not Lot. This is the Roam of Lot. The shepherds of Lot were Rishoyim. Umarim behemtam b'shados acherim. They used to go in and pasture their animals in other people's fields. Amish gazela. Roy Avram, mochichem osam. Al Gezel used to rebuke them about the Gezel. Now, that was the Riv. Actually, Rashi, that was the Riv. What was the Riv? The Riv was, we know who owns what, and you guys are Rishon, because you're going into fields which do not belong to you. Ve'im Omrim Nitna Nosna Oretz Avram. The land was given to Avram. It's not a problem. V'lo Ein Yorish. So Avram got all the... Avram is the one who was given by Kodesh Baruch Hu the land. V'lo Ein Yorish, he has no Yorish, he has no children. V'lot Ben Achav Yerusha. So man, what's the rules of Yerusha? If someone owns a piece of property and there's no Yorish, there's no children, who's the real Yorish, who's the next Yorish? That's the nephew. He's the closest of kin. If he's the Yorish, then he's the Gezel. So it's not Gezel. Because of Omer, Yakanani, V'apriz Oz Yosheb Oretz. So therefore the Pasuk goes on to respond to this. There's the Maholus Avram and Lot, or the Rome was not, you know, Avram said it belongs to me, and Lot said it belongs to him. No, that wasn't the issue, Fakir. It wasn't Avram's. But the Roy Avram said it belongs to the Canaanite Varprizi, someone else. It belongs to other people, Besaros Acherim. And the Roy Lot said, no, it belongs to Avram, and Avram has no Yorish, so we'll take it. So we're the Yorishim. Lot. To which the Pasuk responds, I cannot, my cousin Omer, my Canaanite Varprizi, Ozzy Sheb Oretz, well, Zochaba Avram Edayin. And it's still too early. He was not Zoch in the land yet. Because right now, the master plan was ultimately Avram will get to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. But it didn't happen yet. So if it didn't happen yet, so it still belongs to the Canaan and the Prizi, and therefore it's Gezela. That's what the Machloka seemed to be. So Chora Bosai, Chora, the problem is, it's hard to understand how Rashi, the Medrash over here, Rashi, how they can call the Roam of Lot, Rishoyim. Sounds to me like it was a Machokas. You have Machokas and Psak, right? Halacha, right? I don't think the Roam of Lot were Stam saying, you know, some stupid tiny, you know, belongs to Lot, Rolls Avram with the Yerushim. They felt they weren't saying, you're right, we're Gazlana, we have no problem, we don't mind Gazela. Of course they don't want Gazela. They were trying to defend themselves. They defended themselves with the Taina, which they believed was theirs. Now, exactly, you ask me, how could it be theirs? It's not the Roy Avram was right. Okay, it's Akasha, Mistama, they had some rationalization. You know, they thought it belongs to them because, you know, it's all the master plan, so we take it earlier and no one's grazing anyway. Who knows what the rationalization was? But they thought, they went to court, so to speak, and they had a machokas, and they tied it that it belongs to us. We have a right to it. We're not Gazlanim. And the Rav Ram said, no, you are Gazlana because it belongs to kind of the Frisi right now. It doesn't belong to you yet. Ultimately, it belonged to you, but not yet. So, I mean, of course, we know the truth of Psak was that the Rav Ram were wrong, were correct, rather, and it did not belong to the Bnei Lot at this time because it was still too early. But that was a Machokas, so he passed it like one side, but how can you call the Roy Lot Rishoyim? You know, if someone made it, so they made a mistake. They were krum, they were made a mistake, they weren't so teef, they weren't so deep, they weren't so yashus, they had negiyas. Let's say they had negiyah, right? That's probably what happened. They had some negiyah. They wanted the land, they wanted their animals to have some place to graze. They were starving animals, they wanted to make them big behemoths, you know, and make a lot of money. They had negiyah. They were blind. They're not Rishon on both sides. They're not Rishon. How come Rishon? You know, a person makes a mistake because he's a Baal Taiva, you know, he has a Negiah, so he made a mistake. People make mistakes all the time. You don't call a guy Russia because he makes a mistake. So Chorab Pshat is because Chazal are teaching us that obviously this specific mistake which they made which makes sense to us, it could only happen because deep down, it wasn't just, you know, some kind of nagiya, you know, a kosher nagiya, or maybe it was a, you know, like they wanted more money, they wanted more power. It must have been, if they weren't real rishon, they just didn't care at all about gzeila. They didn't care at all about people's rishus. They just had no shaychus at all to maintaining hilchus emes and being concerned to make sure we don't take someone else's property. If they had any shaychus that, they wouldn't have made the mistake, because it was too obvious to go ahead and say such a crazy thing. It was obvious it wasn't theirs yet. It belonged to Kanani Prisi. It wasn't Avram's yet. That was down the road. Elamai, they firmly believed right now, it must be, says the Medrash, it must be, says the Pasuk, or says the Chazal, that they were Rishon, they were Mamish Rishon, they were such evil people. But they just made a mistake. What's the big? They made a little mistake. No, they're evil people. Because a person could be convinced that he's right. A person can have a psak halacha, that his Rabbanim, or his people, or his Mishpach, or his people, Paskin, went through the Sugya, and they said, you know, we have a good taina. We feel that belongs to us because Hashem promised it to Avram, and we're his Yerushim. So what's the problem? No, you're a Rusha. Your mom is a Rusha Marusha. Because how can you come up with such a taina? How can you feel that way? It must be, says the Medrash, they were mamash rishon. They had no shaykhus. They were evil people. They just were mushkatsim. They didn't care anything. No dakas of shaykhus to caring about gezel. Both said, this is unbelievable chiddush. Both said, a person can be called a Rusha because even though he believes the pem mole, and he mamish is convinced that he's right, and that he has a halacha on his side, the Shulchan Aruch is on his side, HaKadosh Baruch is on his side, but you know, halacha and Torah and emes is so deep, is so potentially elusive. It's so elusive to get the halacha, the proper halacha. It's so hard to know exactly what is right and what is wrong. You know, that's why, listen, we talk about the learning Musar, right, to get rid of your negiyas and to work on yourself, to get more Yerushalayim. We talk about Mesorah, to ask Shilas, to ask Rabbeim, ask Gedolim. That is so crucial, Rabbeinu said, because a person can be so blind that even though it's so clear, it's so obvious, because that's why they're called Rishon. It's Rishon because, therefore it's obvious. Only Rishon because it's obvious, because it can't be. It can't be they made such a mistake. It can't be that's not a simple mistake. The mistake can only happen because they were mamish Rishon. So Pshat is, how can they miss it if they're so bad? Pshat is because they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it because they were blinded. A person on both sides cannot trust himself. You can't paskin. I mean, obviously, it's no shilas, no big deal. It's a pashit, you know. Some of they should have realized it's a big shil over here. It's not so pashit, but you can't, Rabosa, you can't trust yourself. You can't make your own decisions. You can't make, you know, I feel it's right to do this, I feel it's right to do this, I feel this, that's tzak, this, halacha, yes, I should do this, I should do whatever. In a myriad of examples, Rabosa, but you have to, because Torah and Emes is so deep, there's so much ego in the Havana, which is necessary to get to the right tzak, so trying for a person to make such a mistake, such a terrible mistake, that it can only happen because he's a Russia. Both in a similar vein, we find in last week's parsha, I think this is a super, super shmooze, a classic, I'm both saying, in terms of Yisodos and Musar. The pasuk talks about Noach, after he was commanded by Kodesh Baruch Hu to go ahead and go build a teva. Hashem told him in the previous psukim, and he didn't maybe say mabul mayim v'shach al oris, I'm going to bring a mabul v'shach his kolbosar, Hashem told him, he's going to go ahead and bring a mabul, bring mayim, go build a teva. So he finally finishes the whole building of teva, time to go in. Hashem says, go in. And Noach goes in, says Rash, says the pasuk. Vayava Noach, one of the ishto, one of ito al teva, they all go into the teva, they may have mabul. The famous Rashi says, Af Noach miktania mona hoya. He was a small believer. He wasn't such a big balamuna. He was a small person in that regard. Mamin ve'eno mamin. He was a believer. He believed that that'll come, that the mabul will come. But not 100%. Eino mamin. There was some level of not belief. Not 100%. Sheyavo mabul. He wasn't 100% sure. V'zol nichnas cheteva ashedachku hamayim. There's Mutneme Amabel. He only went into Teva because until once the waters pushed him in, with Mamish raging a storm, and the waters were rising and rising and rising. He couldn't stay anymore. He couldn't stay on the ground anymore. He had to go into the Teva to be saved. You know, it wasn't just, it was rainy, it was pouring his own for a while. Finally comes up, the waters are rising. I have no choice. I have to go in. So he went in. But until that happened, he didn't go inside. So Rashi was a, he wasn't such a Baal Emunah. It was something lacking. That's all it means. He was obviously tremendous Baal Emunah, but there was something missing in his Emunah. And both said, just Hagab Asmucha again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Pem Mole, that I'm going to bring a model. Okay, maybe, yeah, I don't know. He does, I mean, remember, Noach was a tremendous tzaddik. He wasn't just an average individual. He was a tzaddik. Tom Hayabudarosevich tzaddik, he was a tremendous tzaddik. He was a Tom, a tzaddik. You know, he was, I mean, he's a tremendous tzaddik means you're a big believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So number one, he's a big tzaddik. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him over here that that there'll be a mabul. Number two. Number three, Hashem tells him, he decides in Rashi that means to go into the teva. He goes because Hashem commanded him. Now, it's Magda. The water's rising. It's not only did Hashem command him, but for 120 years, Noach is instructing the people, right? That was his job, Rashi told us earlier. He instructed the people, mochiach them, you better hurry up, do tshuva, with HaKadosh Baruch who's going to bring a mabul. 120 years of being a Rebbe, being a teacher, being mochiach, and telling people, you better hurry up, you better be careful, you better do tshuva, because Hashem is going to bring a mabul. I mean, Mistama, even if a guy wasn't at Baal Emunah before, he'll convince himself, because he said it over so many times. Every time a guy came over, or a person, or I guess an animal, whatever, he instructed 120 years, his whole life was dedicated, 120 years of his life was dedicated to telling people about the mabul, to warn them. Now, he's still, you know, Noach himself is not convinced yet. He's not convinced. It starts pouring, as Hashem predicted. Hashem told him, go into the teva, and he doesn't want to go. He's not going. Well, it starts raining. It's raining. It's pouring. A hurricane starts. But, well, it's not up to my knees yet. I can still tread water. Not such a big deal. I can still walk around. I'm not going to go in yet. Until he mamish had no choice. He had to go in. He had to go in because it wasn't shayach otherwise. Not shayach. Both say, how is that possible for a person at that stage of his life, of so many years, such a big tzaddik, such a Baal Emunah, and he sees, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, and he goes ahead and sees the waters are rising. But until it's impossible, he's not going to go in. There was some lack of Emunah on his part. A dakedak is a small degree, something he didn't want to believe, he couldn't believe, it was too hard. I don't know exactly what the Negiah was. I can't tell you. It doesn't say what the Negiah was. But for some reason, there was something holding him back from believing in this. And it's shy of a person, such a klorkai, such the biggest tzaddik in the veld, he still doesn't accept it. The Yetzirah, the teva, the negiah, which we spoke about before, doesn't let him see that clarity of vision. Right? He has negiah, he has something blinding him. He doesn't want to accept it. Both of us, we're all like this. We're all like this 20 times and a million times over. We are people, we're human beings. We're not as great as Noach was, and Noach himself was not able to see the truth because he was blinded by his negiahs. Again, Rabosa, we need Muslim Spilus to change our hargosh, to change our feelings. We need Mesorah to accept and hear what the Rabbeim, what the Rabbanim, what the Gedolim, what the Gedolei Dor, what the Poskim, Paskim for us. We can't rely on our own psak. Our vision is always blurred. It's not going to be clear. It's not straight. It has to be always with that recognition that you know, I want to search, I want to try and ask a Shaila and try to ask my Chaverim, consult with your Chaverim, consult with your peers, consult with your parents, consult with your Rabbeim, whatever it might be. I remember, it always blew my mind one time, someone asked me a shayla one time, an individual in the community. He asked me a shayla, which I thought, come, don't waste my time. Such a push to shayla, such a push to answer. Like, who are you trying to, what are you trying to show off, your sifkis? He wasn't trying to show off his sifkis, but he was concerned. He had that, because he recognized, he heard these two shmuzim on both sides, right? He recognized, understood that, you know, it's not push it. Every shayla has to be gone over, and you sit shiv in the kiyum, so to speak, or ask your chaveir, ask your abayim. You have to clear, you have to ask, you have to work on yourself, because as smart as we are, as big of a tzaddik as we are, as big of a tzaddik as Noach was, as hard as it was to deny and to believe that lot was already the yorish, a person can believe it. You can believe the most ridiculous things. So we both have to mechazik ourselves and develop klorkeit and always rely on other people as opposed to ourselves.